While you're still contemplating the answer to the quiz, perhaps a virtual trip to Tibet might help relax your mind. Tibet is one of the world's most mysterious places, a society built at impossibly high elevations, home to an ancient and little understood spiritual legacy. Hawaii-based author Zeal Okogiri, is descended from generations of African healers. He's felt a kinship with Tibetan traditions, and he traveled there in 2012, planning another trip there for later this year, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, Zeal.
Good morning.
It really surprised me when you told me that when you traveled to Tibet, you just kind of showed up, because I always thought it was a place that was very difficult to get in and out of.
Yes. Yes, it is.
What do you think made it different for you?
You know, I don't know. Maybe I was just lucky. When I went to Tibet and I met the Tibetan officials upon arrival, actually I took a train from Beijing to Lhasa, which took 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine. Getting there, I met the Tibetan officials. They were very, very kind to me. And he said that it would be okay for me to spend some time in Tibet. Normally you need a Chinese visa, which I had. You need a Tibetan permit. In addition to that, you need a guide.
Mm-hmm.
So he waived the permit and the guide and asked me to have a good time in Tibet.
Which you did, and saw some things that I suspect few travelers get to see.
Yes. What I recognized was that spiritual devotion was very strong in the hearts of Tibetan people. There is so much love and compassion among them. And the way they interacted with each other, and also the way they welcomed visitors to the Holy Land,
mm-hmm.
It was very moving for me. They couldn't speak English. Most of them don't speak English. And they speak Chinese as well as Tibetan language. And I didn't speak much Chinese either. But if I was looking for a place, they would leave what they were doing and actually take me there instead mm-hmm. of just giving me directions on how to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You see. So it was really a very moving experience for me that I felt that more people need to come to Tibet. And if they could feel and experience half of what I experienced, I think it'll be really a wonderful trip for them.
It's given that you are originally from Nigeria.
Yes, yeah, yes.
And that you're in a country where you frequently go into a profession kind of through heredity, through the fact that your family has done it for a long time. Your family was healers, right?
Yes, I came from a long lineage of healers. What the Western people will call shamans.
Mm-hmm.
My great-grandfathers were all shamanic healers. They were great herbalists. My father was both a medical doctor and involved, very knowledgeable about African botanical medicine. So this is passed from one generation to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And I am a part of that. And spirituality has been a part of our lineage.
And that's the link from Nigeria to Tibet. Right?
Yes, that is the link.
Mm-hmm.
I have explored many spiritual traditions from the African shamanic traditions to Christianity, to Buddhism, to Hinduism, all the isms I can get my hands on. And, you know, this inspired me to go to Tibet to actually experience how Tibetan Buddhism is practiced.
What do you think was distinctive about it? What were the strongest impressions you got?
The strongest impression that I got from Tibetans is that they were not making any effort to practice. Like in the West, we go to church and make the effort
mm-hmm.
to be spiritual, to do things that are spiritual. Tibetans are simply living the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of their life. They're not doing anything. It's like you and I going grocery shopping. It's just a part of their life. You see them going to the monasteries. You see them circumambulating the monasteries to purify their mind to receive merit. You see them going to spin the prayer wheels.
Did you say circumambulate?
Yeah, circumambulate. Yeah.
Walk around.
Walk around, yes. Uh-huh. Walk around the monasteries.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they do
spinning the prayer wheel.
Spinning the prayer wheel, walking around the monastery. There's so many pilgrims.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not just foreigners coming for the pilgrimage. These are Tibetans coming from different parts of Tibet, coming to a place such as the Jokhan Monastery, which is at the Boka Square in Lhasa.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most important monastery in Tibet.
That would be the one of which people might have seen photographs, if they've seen any photographs of Tibet.
Yeah. Yes, you have the Potala Palace, which many people see photographs about. But you cannot miss the Jokhan Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see people in front of the temple, prostrating in front of the temple and circumambulating the temple, saying prayers. And I was told that prayers have been said in that temple every single day for 24 hours for the past 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel that when you're there. Yeah, you
really do, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You feel the devotion, yes.
One of the things that you witnessed was a remarkable practice, ritual, whatever you call it, of a kind of something I wouldn't expect in a monastic context, which is a kind of a debate of theological doctrine, if you will. Is that a good description of it?
Yes, indeed. You know, I was fortunate enough to visit the Sierra Monastery. It's also in Lhasa. And this is where the monks are trained. And many, many years ago, before the Cultural Revolution, there used to be up to 10,000 monks being trained at the Sierra Monastery. But now the numbers have dwindled down considerably,
mm-hmm.
To perhaps 1,000 or so. And as a part of the training of the lamas, they have to hold this mock debate among themselves while they had lama watches to see how they are doing in their training, in their understanding of the Buddhist doctrine. So they would all gather outside and they will study debate. They will be grouped perhaps, they have about maybe 20 groups all debating among themselves. And when a monk tries to make a point, he emphasizes the point by clapping his hand and gesturing to indicate how important, how vital that point, that particular point he's trying to make is.
You know, it's one of the many remarkable things you've seen, Zio.
Yes.
I thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Real
thank
pleasure.
You. Yes.
Dr. Zeal Okwuegheri is the author of Journey to Freedom, The Power of Resilience. He's leading a trip to Tibet in July of this year, and details are at hpr2.org.
Lost boys to responsible men in South Sudan.
Joseph Akolmakir came here in 2003 with four younger siblings, all orphans.
A woman from Fargo, North Dakota reflects on the current unrest in South Sudan and the people she's worked with and helped for nearly a decade. That's next time on The Takeaway from PRI Public Radio International.
This morning at 9, following The Conversation.